This is Radio Influence.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Autumnal Equinox Val.
Ooh, is that today?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, it's first day of fall.
You always have something really interesting to say.
First day of fall. Always waiting for this one.
Wait, isn't the first day of fall the 21st?
I thought that that was the standard, because it's my brother's birthday on the 21st. So I always thought that that was the standard. And but then I see that it fluctuates. I think last year was the 20th. I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Well, I don't either. That's very strange.
I used to know how it worked.
They used to teach us this stuff in school.
Yeah.
I have to, before we begin today, you know who you are out there. I don't even have to say your name. I want to wish you the happiest of happy, happy birthdays that ever graced the earth of birthdays. Happy birthday. And there you go.
Happy birthday, you.
They're listening and they know. They know who they are.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
I don't know who they are, but you.
I do and they do. That's all that matters.
All right.
So what a weekend. What a weekend.
Yeah, you're telling me.
So what did you observe over the weekend?
I had my my car broken into.
No.
So I observed that.
Shut up. What the hell? Again?
Yeah. Well, this time it was an actual physical shattering of my rear window.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I was parked on 6th Street in New York. It was actually it was a beautiful, awesome night until that last piece. It was almost a perfect evening. I went out for my brother's birthday. But I'll be talking about that tonight for sure.
That's insanity, Frank. Did you call the cops and everything?
Yeah, I got a report. It'll all be all right. They didn't, and the idiots, they got shook by something. But all they were able to snag was my book bag. Oh, it was all intrinsic items that I lost. I lost 13 years worth of baseballs and my baseball gloves, and that's it. Hopefully, you know, hopefully they got all the heroin they needed.
Did they steal your nutsack, Frank?
No, my nutsack is actually home. It's right here. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, God. I can't believe that. I feel horrible. Like, you didn't even tell me.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I really reacted in a very different way than I thought I ever would. I mean, I definitely had my fantasies of, you know, jamming a knife through somebody's throat. But I also just, at that point, there was obviously nobody around to fight. You just feel violated.
Yeah,
I was just kind of reserved to, all right, well, what's next? Let's just move on with this.
One time I was in New York City with a bunch of my friends, a bunch of guys, actually, guy friends. We went to the China Club. I don't know if you ever heard of the China Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And something happened. We left. It was like 2:30 in the morning. We were sitting at a light in the middle of, you know, New York City at 2:30 in the morning. And this car full of guys to the right of us starts beefing with the guys in my car. And what ended up happening was carjacking. And I was beat by this guy. And like, jeez, they stole the car and flew away. And the rest of their friends were stuck, you know, there with their car and fled away. And damn. I was beaten up by this guy, pushed me down, punched me. And I had my bag in the car and everything. And I, you know, I don't think it was intended to be a carjacking. He just freaked out and jumped in my friend's car and drove off with it. And we were all just standing there afterwards like, what in the hell just happened? They ended up getting the guy right away because a cop drove up and we told him what happened. And he went after and got the guy. And my friend's car was like on the curb and 2-3 blocks away. The guy just ditched it.
That's one hell of a story.
Yeah, talk about feeling violated. I totally understand. It's a horrible feeling when someone takes something of yours or it gets in your personal space like that.
Yeah, we'll get it. Well, either way, there'll be a resolution. There will be an answer. Feta cheese.
Yeah, that's crazy. You were in, wow. All right, what else?
Nothing. I've been just reading a lot about this Biden stuff. And
Listen,
no, I can't wait. I can't wait to get around to all this.
We're going to get into some of the Biden stuff today because Giuliani is absolutely on fire. And we're going to talk about that for a good chunk of the show today. And I've always stayed away from the Ukraine, or actually Ukraine, no the, because I hate when people say the Ukraine and I do it myself. I've always stayed away from Ukraine because I'm like almost scared to do it because everybody's got a damn opinion on who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. And you didn't talk about this and you didn't talk about that. And so I've like generally avoided the topic, mm-hmm. but I don't know how much more we can avoid the topic for fear of the lynch mob coming for us, given what's being exposed right now. So I'm going to start talking about Ukraine, but I need everybody to be gentle. Because otherwise, it's going to be a horrible experience.
Well, the one thing I'm trying to figure out here still is that the whistleblower themselves, if you're talking about an intelligence agency whistleblower or anybody who has any kind of stake in the game and knows the inner workings and knows what's up and who has ties to where and what fingerprints are more prominent on what scandals than the others. If you actually have the inside scoop on who's crooked and who's actually riding on a straight line here, why would you whistleblow on something like this in a way that seems anti-Trump if you know that there is, if you have to know somewhere that there is a far greater chance that this is going to flip around and blow up in the face of somebody like Biden who actually has something to hide? So I keep wondering to myself if this is another Ezra Cohen Watnick kind of operation that has brilliantly laid down a trail of breadcrumbs from one place to the other, and it has morphed before our very eyes, and people were starting off wondering whether or not Trump was in the wrong, and then all of a sudden there is almost nothing other than Biden and his misdealings and his misdeeds to talk about a couple of days later. I'm still trying to figure out who the whistleblower was and what they could have intended for, because I don't see how this could have been, how taking out Trump could have been the primary thing. It seems too weak and flimsy, unless it's just desperation and they have nothing but weak and flimsy.
Well, there's a bunch of stuff to unpack out of that, because I agree with you. You know, it seems almost like this was done on purpose. Let's just play a quick Giuliani clip from Fox News Sunday yesterday that was shared with me by Dave, Trump soldier on Twitter, Dave New York. Dave NYVIII is the Twitter handle. Let's play that real quick and listen to the very end of this. It's pretty amazing. Here we go.
Something fishy is the distinction is this. What they're trying to say is I went there for a political mission to kind of get Joe Biden in trouble. Ridiculous. I went there as a lawyer defending his client. I've known about this for 5 months. I've been trying to get people to cover this for 5 months, so I knew it would be very, very hard to get this out. And what I'm talking about, this, it's Ukrainian collusion, which was large, significant, and proven. With Hillary Clinton, with the Democratic National Committee, a woman named Shalupa, with the ambassador, with an FBI agent who's now been hired by George Soros, who was funding a lot of it. When Biden got the prosecutor fired, the new prosecutor who Biden approved. Mm-hmm. You don't get to approve a prosecutor in a foreign country unless something fishy is going on. The new prosecutor dropped the case, not just on Biden's kid and the crooked company that Biden's kid worked for, Burisma. That was done as a matter of record in October of 2016 after the guy got tanked. He also dropped a case on George Soros' company called Antac. Antac is the company where there's documentary evidence that they were producing false information about Trump, about Biden. Fusion GPS was there. Go back and listen to Nelly Orr's testimony. Nelly Orr says that there was a lot of contact between Democrats and the Ukraine. Well, I have all the contacts. And John, when the rest of this comes out and we look at China, and the $1.5 billion that the Biden family took out of China while that guy was negotiating for us, this will be a lot bigger than Spiro Agnew. So, they have fallen into a trap. So,
you hear that last part?
Fallen into a trap.
Yep.
Hmm.
Now, remember a couple of days ago, the story came out. The whistleblower didn't even hear the conversation directly. didn't have, it was a hearsay supposed complaint. Now this whistleblower, supposedly, who doesn't fit under the whistleblower statute at all, didn't even hear it directly themselves, but heard it from someone else.
Is there a chance that we're going to get a identification of the whistleblower?
I mean, everybody's talking about it, and I'm nearly certain if the Democrats find out that this was some sort of, you know, setup on from somebody, even if on their side, in quotes, they're going to leak the hell out of that name, destroy that person every which way from Sunday, as Chuck Schumer would say.
Well, I would see, this is just goes more to, unless and of course, when new answers and information comes to light, we'll just take it from there. But this is mostly the reason why I'm getting suspicious about this stuff, because, and not even suspicious in a bad way, but just asking myself what could really be the impetus behind this, because as far as unsubstantiated anonymous sources and people who heard things from second and third sources and all that other stuff, this was the game plan of the media for a long time. So knowing the media's tendencies to roll with anything, no matter how far removed from the primary source it was, just to be able to cause a ripple effect in the headlines and the news cycle for a week or two and eat up more days out of the calendar, I can see how this is just so easily one of those things that can be like, hey, you know what? We got to lead people to the epicenter of a really huge scandal right now, but we have to make it seem like it's nonpartisan. How do we do it? Well, let's give the insane media a little bit of chum that looks like it could at least initially be used to get Trump, and here we are.
Yeah, we're exactly in the place where if you were a Trump or somebody savvy about how the media works, like we are, just knowing what we've dealt with, and they're so stupid that they fell for it. Here we are. If you wanted to get this story out right now and get rid of Joe Biden electorally and tell everybody that he's under investigation, because this all ties back into Trump Russia and the collusion, we're going to talk about what the story is even about right now, because there, John Solomon reported this back in May. Then this is what you do, Frank. Exactly like you said, this is exactly how you'd play it. So in May of 2019, John Solomon wrote an article for The Hill where he says the boomerang from the Democrat Party's failed attempt to connect Trump to Russia is picking up speed, and its flight path crosses right through Moscow's pesky neighbor, Ukraine. That's where there is growing evidence of a foreign power that was asked and in some cases tried to help Hillary Clinton. In its most detailed account yet, the Ukrainian embassy in Washington says a DNC insider, Andrea Chalupa, during the 2016 election solicited dirt on Donald Trump's campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, and even tried to enlist the country's president to help. Andrea Chalupa sought information from the Ukrainian government on Paul Manafort's dealings inside the country in hopes of forcing the issue before Congress. And then we got the black book ledger that was all over the Mueller deal. It was fabricated, and that's it. They fabricated evidence wrongly inside of that booklet or book, what they call the black book, to frame up Manafort to be able to do what they did here. And that was Andrea Chalupa, who was working at the DNC at the time. And there are several more facets and verticals to this story. Nellie Orr is involved because she, while working for Fusion GPS, was involved with a lot of the information coming out of Ukraine. Fusion also paid Christopher Steele, who meddled in there just a little bit. And the Obama White House invited law enforcement to a meeting in January, just as in January of 2016, as Trump was rolling up in poll and in favorability. And that meeting led to U.S. requests to the Ukrainians to help investigate Manafort. Mm. So Chalupa actually talked about this in 2017. And her firm was paid $71,918 by the DNC. And then enter one Biden. So there's two more clips of Giuliani I wanted to let you hear, because he came out about this. Remember, he was supposed to go on the trip?
Yeah.
He was on the news about this months back, and it didn't catch steam. John Solomon reported on it months back. It didn't catch steam. Now, here we are, right when Biden seems to be losing his mind. And it looks like, you know, to be honest with you, it doesn't really look like anybody wants Biden. It doesn't look like the left wants him. It doesn't look like the right wants him either.
Yeah, and I think that they the Elizabeth Warren thing, I don't know. It really, I don't care what crowd that they were able to get together for her, wherever the hell it was, but I don't believe anything of the authenticity of that.
No.
Don't believe a lick of her.
What Trump will do to an Elizabeth Warren and socialism.
It's the worst. It's the worst thing that could happen. She's actually the worst thing that can happen. I mean, Bernie is just, I mean, he was the dangerous one in 2016 for real. Only problem is that he didn't have any of the internal controls in his hands. So he was completely, you know, cast aside. Now he's just too old, blubbering, his voice is collapsing, and we already have a taste of what a Trump presidency is all about. And despite all of the wailing and gnashing of teeth, it is it's not bad. And then and that's all you really need right now is to know, hey, things are getting better, and it's not nearly as bad as genocidal maniac becoming president. We know he's not a genocidal maniac now. So with all that set aside, how the hell are you going to tell me that the greatest chance that they have is Elizabeth Warren, who not even a year ago has already been exposed for lying about her Native American heritage? This is such a bad idea.
It's a good idea for us.
Oh, it's a great idea for us. But, you know, it only seems like something that they can be excited about right now because the attention has been so dispersed amongst whatever the 12 to 13 candidates that are still out there. There's still too much attention to be dispersed amongst all those people. Once you get to focus on Elizabeth Warren and we can actually start making the memes again, hell with it. I mean, it's
over. Let's listen to this other. We got two more Rudy clips that we need to hear. Here we go.
And the kid.
Hold on.
Going to Ukraine and finding dirt on Joe Biden and or his son to use politically in 2020.
Wait, that's the way you characterize it. It's certainly.
That's the way it appears to line up.
No, it doesn't.
You went there that's for the one thing. You found out something else.
That is
and that's
the way
what you've been
the pro-Biden media lines it up. This began with someone coming to me saying this information can clear your client about the corruption in Ukraine between Ukraine, the Democratic Party, the ambassador, and the FBI agent who investigated the case.
But then it morphs into Biden.
Inextricably combined, because Biden had the guy fired, Shokin. By the way, his statement's on record. The lazy press could go read it. They don't have to listen to me. There are three videotapes of prosecutors on record, available on here, that nobody has covered for 5 months because this town protects Joe Biden. His family has been taking money from his public office for years, $1.5 billion from China, when our vice president is supposed to be impartially and independently negotiating for us, and the kid, he takes him on Air Force Two to China.
That was in 2013.
And the kid, unfortunately, is a drug addict. China didn't give $1.5 billion to his kid, Biden's kid, a recovering drug addict, Kerry's stepson, and Whitey Bulger's nephew. Ladies and gentlemen, go look at what the press has been covering up on you. Can you imagine?
This is a company called Rosemont Seneca. Let me just come back for a second.
Whitey Bulger's nephew.
Let me just stop for a second.
$1.5 billion coming from China when our vice president.
Mr. Mayor,
that doesn't shock you?
Let me stop for a second because
how far have we deteriorated?
Let me stop for a second because we.
Wow.
You can't combat that with a straight face if you're a reporter and you're covering up and trying to make this sound good. Because you can't make it sound good. There's one more and then we'll dissect it. It's 2 minutes. This is Rudy Giuliani. Like watching him do this on television, I was like, wow. Wow. Hold on. Here we go.
My son to China right now. Little suspicion.
Joe Biden yesterday told our Peter. Joe Biden told our Peter Ducey yesterday that he never discussed overseas business with his son.
Do you believe that?
I don't know. Do you believe that?
I'm flying my son to China. How long is the flight to China?
It's a while.
15 hours, 16 hours, 17. I'm flying my son to China on Air Force Two. I'm going to negotiate with the Chinese to help America. My son is going there to negotiate to help the Biden family. When he comes back, and 8 days later, the kid gets $1 billion in his ridiculous private equity fund run by a recovering drug addict, somebody connected to the vice president of the United States, and somebody connected to the biggest gangster in America. Wait a second. The son doesn't say to him, I got $1 billion. By the way, you see what Joe said? It's contradicted by the son. The son said, I talked to my father about it. How about this? There was an article on December 9 of 2015 in the New York Times raising holy hell about Biden's son being on the board of the most corrupt company in Ukraine and how strange it looked. I don't know if Joe reads the newspapers, but somebody must have read that to him. And finally, if Joe didn't know what his son was doing abroad, how many conflicts are there? This guy was flying blind. I don't know. Did he get money from Russia? Did he get money from Cuba? Was he doing business in Venezuela? You're telling me that the vice president of the United States was there for 8 years. His son is going around the world taking millions from some adversary of the United States. Don't say
No,
it's important.
I'm saying we've got
to
go.
This is about the only time I've gotten to point out a tremendously large scandal that affects the American people. And it's your job to do it, not just mine. I'm doing it to defend my client.
We are out
but
of...
You're telling me that he had no system with his son to check on conflicts? So we know of two. We know there's a big conflict with Ukraine. We know there's a big conflict with China. Since Joe says, and is apparently selling the swamp media on the fact that he didn't know, well, Joe, how many more conflicts are there? Venezuela, Cuba.
You've mentioned that.
Russia.
We've got to leave it, Mr. Mayor.
$1.5 billion is enough for most people to get invested.
We are out of time for this morning, but clearly we're going to keep looking into this.
And yeah, sure you are, as you sit there with your smug little smirk on your face.
What network was that?
Fox.
I hate Fox.
I hate Fox, too.
I hate them all.
Freaking
in fact,
ridiculous.
I just hate voices. At this point, if it sounds like traditional media, I hate it. And I can just tell. You know who I can't forget about it.
Who?
What? Who the hell is he? Who was talking to Neil Cavuto? Is Neil Cavuto's hair real?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The hairline does not look real.
We need to talk about that.
one day, just an episode on Neil Cavuto's hair. And his, I think he was talking to Tulsi Gabbard. I saw him recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, she's, like I said, I take a slice or two of her pie and throw the rest away.
Yeah, not for the right reasons.
Yeah. He's the opposite. He's Cavuto's the opposite, and he won't shut up. He's another one that doesn't shut up in the middle of an interview.
Isn't that annoying? I can't take that nonsense. I'm looking at pictures of his hair right now. I think it is real, Frank.
I don't believe it. All right. Well, that's unbelievable. First of all, I thought that Giuliani was speaking on MSNBC or CNBC or something like that, with the way that he wasn't, almost like, don't say too much, Rudy. We don't want this to be too explosive.
Precisely. And that's why I said to myself, I don't know. Like Dave said, I'll be shocked if any of the networks invite Rudy back on after today. And I said, Rudy all but told the media that the quote whistleblower story was literally a trap and the idiots walked right into it. And he told them where they could stick it. I actually live for this crap. I live for the destruction of this corrupt. Like, if you think about it, last night, Dan Bongino was on Life, Liberty, and Levin. I'm sure you didn't get a chance to catch it, but.
I didn't. I got to watch it, though.
It was really good. It was really good. I mean, for a normal, everyday Fox viewer who doesn't listen to podcasts, right? To hear that interview had to have been eye-opening because he went into the stuff that we talk about all the time. You know, he's great for that, Dan, because he gets the attention that, we're trying to get from the public at large. And he has the story. So it's great that people get to hear him. And they talked about this. They talked about how the double standard, if you were to say Don Jr. went over and got $1 billion from China while his dad was president. Can you imagine what would be going on right now?
Oh, yeah. I have it part of, I'm going to be doing some Ukraine stuff in tonight's show, and quite frankly tonight. And I was thinking about this very thing, and I had this down just as, you know, thinking about it, what would it be like on the other side of the coin here? If you can imagine, the White House press secretary came out, because I pulled up an article from 2014. Or 2013, whenever this became known. I'll tell you what it was. I started listening to Michael Savage around 2014, and I remember some of my earliest memories of listening to his show was his covering this back then. Mm-hmm. In 2014, when Jay Carney came out, then press secretary, the one that was up there before Josh Earnest came in. They were one more smarmy than the other. And then I came in, and I remember this, Jay Carney coming out and saying that this was, you know, we're talking about a private citizen here with Joe Biden's son, and that there was nothing going on there. He's a private citizen, has nothing to do with the president or the vice president at the time. And I'm thinking to myself, and I had this from a Washington Examiner article I'm going to read tonight for a little bit. And I said, you know, if you can imagine the White House press secretary today coming out and saying this about something similar with like Ivanka or something.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine with all the emoluments clause retards out there.
Yep.
Everybody's a scholar. Everybody's an emoluments clause scholar these days. Can you imagine this? My God.
Splody head wouldn't do it any justice.
No. Every time a member of the United States military stops into a Trump resort for a glass of lemonade, it's an emoluments clause
violation. Even though he divested from all of his businesses and gave them all up.
Yeah,
I mean, give me a freaking break! It's getting to peak stupid. It really is. We're way past peak stupid. I don't even know what I'm saying. We are on the other side of peak stupid to ridiculousness. There's no words.
It might have been one of the last. I don't know what the hell it was. It was probably either early this year or late last. If you think about all the ways they have tried to wrestle Donald Trump, the bull, down to the ground by the horns over the last couple of years, you might have forgotten this because there's so many micro scandals at this time. You remember when he showed up to say hello to – oh, it might have been in Iraq or Afghanistan, wherever the hell it was. The hat signing.
Yep.
He signed somebody's hat and they tried to – oh, my God. And now this. Well,
www.uncoverdc.com. I'm going to do a shameless plug for my media company every single time some trash like this happens, because it's absolutely ridiculous. And enough is enough already. Enough is enough. Let's move on a topic, even though there's so much more here. I mean, there are clips of Rudy Giuliani on the media all weekend long. And then there was actually like Trump completely angry about even being approached with the whistleblower topic while he's meeting with a foreign dignitary. This is what our media does. And then Brian Stelter. Did you see Brian Stelter?
How can you not see Brian Stelter?
He was complaining about how the president said the media was fake and a mockery across the entire world.
Well, Brian Stelter looks like it more and more like Pizza the Hut from Spaceballs every day.
He is getting a little bit.
More and more.
His evilness is eating him from the inside out.
Just the dough. The folds upon folds of dough. One last thing about Giuliani. When he says things like a trap has been sprung or they have fallen into a trap, more reason why I'm thinking that the whistleblower, whoever they are, I mean, maybe we find out who it is and it's not somebody that we know. Maybe it was a really bad plan that just went foul and they had no other choice. But as of right now, and especially with backing it up with Giuliani's response, I'm thinking this is another classic Ezra Cohen Watnick type of situation.
It appears that way.
Yeah.
CNN Shemmy Boy tweets, CNN is really, really mad that President Trump and Prime Minister Modi are great friends and that a stadium full of Indian Americans were cheering his every word today. It totally throws a wrench in their all 60 plus million Trump supporters are white supremacist narrative. This is in a response to a tweet by CNN that says U.S. President Trump and Indian PM Modi are authoritarian leaders who intimidate and exclude marginalized communities, chill the free press, and champion fake news and propaganda to whitewash their atrocities.
Oh,
because the media is busy whitewashing Trump atrocities. The media is busy creating Trump atrocity.
You know, and once again, I love how everybody can be white supremacists. And how can you be a supremacist that needs to that constantly has to whitewash what you're doing to try to present yourself as something other than what you are?
Yeah.
Isn't pride a part of white your supremacy? Evil? Yeah. Aren't you proud of being evil? That's, why is everything a dog whistle? Why is everything so secretive? I don't get it.
Yeah, this was it's like usually they're very I mean, look at Clayton Bigsby, for goodness sakes.
Oh yeah.
What power? It's one of the proud He was one of the proudest black white supremacists I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
So Sarah Carter. And then we're going to go into like a Hunger Games-esque sort of a story. Sarah Carter put out an article over the weekend about Lynch. Lynch seems to be making her way back into the news, which is great. It's all going to hit the fan. You know that, right, Frank?
I hope so.
We're almost there.
Well, I mean, there's a lot that I'm hoping for, because not for nothing, but speaking of whether it be the I don't know, Biden and his son or this and that, if there was ever one person in the long, impotent history of the Logan Act, for example, that could be prosecuted successfully,
Kerry,
it would be John Kerry,
yeah.
a private citizen that is still consulting Iran on how to deal with the current administration in America. There is still Debbie Wasserman Schultz still lisping her way through committee hearings with people like Tom Homan and everybody else, Miss Broward County herself, paw prints all over everything from the sheriff down there to polling decisions and all, and the DNC servers and the A1 family we haven't heard anything about in a couple of years. I mean, if something's going to hit the fan, then my God, I hope so. I hope so, because there's too many people we've forgotten about. The names are stacked so high right now, we're forgetting about people that still need to go to jail.
Yeah. I woke up this morning and I started thinking to myself, this corruption is just how it was done. And it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And now we're trying to clean it up and they are freaking out, because think of all the livelihoods on the line. Kids setups and, you know, who's going to make money for the rest of their life because of this lobbying deal? And how can I sell off access for this? And just stamping all over what this country is supposed to be in favor of their own self-interest. Evil, evil, horrible, disgusting people.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And when President Obama came in 2008, and I voted for him in 2008 because I was eating it all up, lapping it all up at that point. And to even sell everybody on, we're going to end no bid contracts and we're going to end no bid contracts here and there. Pretty much they're going to put a spear to the side of companies like Halliburton. But what happened? Yeah, you even if you starve a company like Halliburton, you're just going to give all the contracts are going to friendly companies, to him and his friends. So it's not. So when you talk about the cleanup that needs to happen, it really is what, like you said, the corruption was so necessary for the current order of things that to actually restore what is lying all, you know, beneath the miles of grime here, that in itself would be a revolutionary act, because it seems like governance itself has been running on corruption alone as a fuel for so long. There's no integrity, no restraint by law, nothing.
Yeah, so Loretta Lynch, one of the leaders of the at least the small scandal compared to the rest of the nonsense going on, it appears now, even though it's not a small scandal. Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch told congressional lawmakers in a closed-door testimony that despite the DOJ having approved the warrant and renewals to spy on Page, she didn't recall the applications, didn't remember the details contained in the applications, or the circumstances surrounding conversations about the warrant. She appeared to have amnesia, as per one of the congressional folks that spoke to Sarah Carter. During her testimony she delivered in December before the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees. It was during 2016 when she also came under fire for the tarmac meeting. And she said in hearings behind closed doors, not only did she not remember anything about any FISA warrant at all, she knew the exact process of how the FISA warrant process was supposed to go. Her deputy, Sally Yates, signed off on a FISA warrant. She says, I have no idea about anything about this. No one told me anything. I don't have any clue. Give me a break. Give me a break. There is no way on God's green earth the Attorney General of the United States of America didn't know that they were getting a FISA warrant to spy on an opposing political campaign. There's no way. Just like they talked about grandkids, Frank, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Goodlatte questioned her. She said, it says, under questioning from House Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte, she listed the standard detailed procedures of what is required from the Attorney General when the FBI files for a FISA warrant. By statute, she says, the Attorney General is the final signatory on applications. By regulation, the signatory authority has been delegated or shared with the Deputy Attorney General and the head of the NSD, as long as the people in these positions are presidentially appointed and Senate confirmed. So she knows the rules, but when Goodlatte asks her, is that what happened in the Carter Page case? She says, I wasn't involved in the processing of the Page FISA, but I don't have any, I can outline the process, but I don't know anything about it. I have no knowledge. She says, I have no recollection of being briefed on the Page application either, and I don't have any recollection of signing it.
I don't have any recollection either.
I have no recollection that I stole $1 million from the bank down the street. I don't remember.
I don't recall any of this, any of my role in this supposed, this coup. You really think about what they're asking. And you really think about, even if this was all on the up and up and she wasn't involved in anything nefarious, but she definitely was around to know that these things were happening. You're telling me in the lead up to a national election where you have just this bubbling storyline growing of foreign interference and the need to surveil people that are of high political and social stature in the United States, just to have the need, even if you're just taking precaution and there's really nothing there and you're just following things where it's leading. These are actions of such great magnitude of importance and significance and to have no recollection.
Zero.
As to what your involvement was, what you saw, what level of legitimacy or what, just nothing. No, I don't understand. How did you become Attorney General with such a poor memory?
The same way that Barack Obama became president, not knowing who he was emailing back and forth on his devices.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like Hillary Clinton wanted to become the chief executive of the country when she never knew. She didn't know what she was going to get from Fusion GPS when she paid them millions of dollars. Can you imagine that? She wants to sign off. She wants to sign off and pay the check for us as a country. Doesn't know what she's going to get from a $5 million investment. Okay.
Listen, I'm just disturbed right now. I just, oh gosh, not about what you're saying. It's disturbing enough. I just looked at my Twitter account. There's this big climate change thing going on in DC right now.
I saw a little bit.
Robbie Starbuck, go to his page. It's Rob at Robbie Starbuck on Twitter.
Hold on a second. Robbie Starbuck.
For those of you listening, I'll put the tweet in the show notes. It's a look for the guy with confetti being sprinkled all over him as he twerks in the middle of the street for climate change while they sprinkle confetti all over him. Confetti.
Ugh.
Isn't this horrible?
Oh, my God. Oh, I'll tell you something. Weimar Republic. Here it is. This is Weimar, United States. Here you go.
Listen, confetti, Frank.
Weimar. That's all I'm looking at here when I see this guy in Daisy Dukes. Oh, God, what an embarrassment.
It
is. We are embarrassing. We are embarrassing.
So I was going to switch over to this climate change nonsense, right? So there was, this is gross. So there was this whole big thing over the weekend, like, and Friday, of this big climate change thing where all the kids decided they were going to leave their schools to protest the way that we adults, everybody, all of us, are apparently destroying the earth so that they will not have a future, right? As they have air conditioning in their schools and they use their electronic devices that are, you know, manufactured in plants that don't follow any environmental rules in China, and they get their Ubers to school or their moms buy them Range Rovers or whatever, right? And then there is like the queen of the climate change Nazis. Her name is Greta. Have you seen this chick?
Yeah, I've seen her.
She scares the hell out of me.
She's Damien from the, what is it, The Omen?
Yeah. Let me set this up, what I think. She scare you too?
She's just Firestarter, that's all. I mean, she has some kind of evil, she has some kind of secret telekinetic powers or pyrokinetic powers. She can do something with, she can, we're going to see. She's, there's something going on here. Yes.
Okay. So I heard this clip on the radio in the car, and I was like, I was listening to Sirius and it was on Fox, and I'm like, oh my God, it's almost like we're in a movie and this is the dystopian evil doers watching, you know, the rally on television as they plot the way to take over the people by programming their minds. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that correctly?
Yes.
Like a scene in a movie that's like a horror movie about a bad guy and his cronies, like deep state cronies, trying to take over the entire planet by propagandizing the people to believe, you know, whatever they want using these sorts of things. I want to play this for you and just listen to the tone of her voice. It reminded me of like a Hunger Games-esque sort of a thing here. Come on, for God's sakes. Here we go.
This Monday, world leaders are going to be gathered here in New York City for the United Nations Climate Action Summit. The eyes of the world will be on them. They have a chance to prove that they, too, are united behind the science. They have a chance to take leadership, to prove they actually hear us. Do you think they hear us? We will make them hear us. We have not.
They've been warning us about the rise of Donald Trump as being Hitler, and I just heard a little tiny Hitler in this girl.
We will make them hear us.
What does that mean? Okay, so you're gonna make us listen. You're gonna make what? What are you talking about? What is we're going to make them hear us mean? And what happens when we hear your stupidity and we don't care? We still don't care. Then what? Then we're good. They are in. I'll tell you what it is. These are all part of the people. Not the children. The children are just little mindless drones.
Not this one. She's not a mindless drone. This one knows exactly what she's doing. She's evil, Frank.
She's been programmed as well. And of course, I've heard she has, what does she have, Asperger's or something like that?
Oh, I don't give a crap.
She has Asperger's. So there's also that, you know, there's some kind of a, oh my God, it's so amazing. Look what she's
Asperger's
doing.
Asperger's people are the most brilliant people on this planet.
Yes, but but you have to understand that these are people who any little thing, any diagnosis, whatever you can show that you have been diagnosed with, even if it's a self-diagnosis of some kind of anxiety problem or whatever the hell it is, that is social and now socio-political validation. Now you must be listened to because you have a problem. I mean, there is some kind of an issue there. This is just the way it is. It gives them more capital whenever they get behind a microphone and they show that they can lead. Stay, get behind me. I've got a social anxiety problem. I know what the world needs.
Yeah, so much social anxiety. She's standing up on a stage talking to 100,000 people or however many people were there, 50,000, whatever.
Yeah, 50,000 idiots. I don't care.
This whole private climate change thing, they're now having to deal with the fact that because of what they've done, there's the people coming out and saying, I suffer from such anxiety, I can't even function because I'm so scared.
Let's follow those people. Let's follow those people into the next phase of our existence. Yeah, the people who are so crippled by anxiety. Let's follow them.
And so there was one guy that tweeted, I served two tours in Iraq, lost both my legs and whatever else he did valiantly. And I don't even suffer from constant anxiety. So, you know, this is how these people really are. They're so scared. So all these kids now are saying, and this is a real thing. They're all saying, we don't have to go to school. Why would we go to school?
Why would they? They have all the answers.
Not
they
only
have
that, but
everything.
We're going to die in 6 years.
Absolutely.
Why are we going to waste our time in school?
Well.
And yeah. I say, good. Don't go to school. Stay out of the indoctrination center. And maybe when you're 20 and you're living on the street, we can wake you up to some truth.
Yeah, if they can take a couple more years off from school and that would be good because when they're still alive and still losers in 10 to 12 years from now, I'd like to see what the excuse is then. What's the excuse then? And are you ready to go out there and apply for a trade job, or you want to learn how to mend a pipe? What do you want to do with yourself? Because I'm pretty sure they're not going to give up their plastics. They're not going to give up any of their creature comforts here at home. I saw people, just the chairs that they were sitting on, everything made by petroleum, everything from the clothes that they wear.
Yeah, literally.
From the glasses that they have resting on their nose ridges.
Yep.
Everything made by petroleum. They cling to their phones. Always looking for an outlet to charge it up on. They're nuts. Nuts.
That's like when they used to do the, Occupy Wall Street down in New York, and I was there, and they'd be sitting in Starbucks to use the wireless with their Apple iPhones and their iPads and their MacBooks. And I'm like looking at them like, you guys are idiots. You have no idea why you're here. You have no idea why you're here.
Nobody did.
No. Well, we walked them to the Fed. We gathered up 100, 150 of them and said, we really should be ending the Federal Reserve. So let's do an end the Fed rally instead. And we did.
I only found a couple people there talking about the Federal Reserve. And those are the only people I talked to.
It's funny I bet you we bumped into each other and just don't even know it.
Maybe.
Wall Street.
I've got pictures from down there from that day. I don't know where our video was. We had edited a video together, and I don't know.
You might see me, little Tracy.
That would be interesting if you're somewhere in there.
It's like, where's Waldo? You'll find me in there.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this real quick before we jump. Did you get I saw you sent me the email from those folks over the weekend with the picture.
Oh yeah.
Somebody sent me an email. I'm not going to use their names because I'm not sure that I have permission. But somebody sent me an email of they were at the Mothman festival in, I don't know where. I don't know where it is. But they were holding up a sign that said, they had a couple signs. One of them said, I had one that said, we love Tracy Beans and Helga. Which Helga, like, she needs to get her head any bigger. She loved it. We recorded a video thank you for them. And then they had one for you.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pretty incredible.
Fudwaddle, right?
Yes.
Yes, Fudwaddle.
Fudwaddle has some interesting stuff. I asked him to fact check a meme he sent me once.
Lots of memes out there.
And I want to thank Rich Perry. Rich Perry has been helping me running this big project that Uncover DC is running. Rich Perry reached out to me and said, hey, you know, I did this Comey timeline. And I said, hey, Rich, you want to get on the phone? Because this is absolutely amazing. And we got a bunch of volunteers together and he organized this entire project with all of these amazing people to get these dates into these timelines so that we could get this thing rolling. And it's almost done.
Where does the timeline start?
It starts wherever the first date in any IG report that's been released starts.
Hmm.
It's only the dates and events from the IG reports, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and the Mueller report. And the text messages from Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. All in one place. So every government verified date is in there with what the government put out happened on that date. No media reports, none of that nonsense.
Well,
do you see why that's valuable?
Yes.
You got very
quiet. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And like I said before, we need people out there to put together timelines.
This is going to be big. I have a lot of plans for this thing. It's going to be freely available for anybody that wants it when I'm done with it. And it is going to be quite quite the project. But it will be done, and it will be done soon.
I can't wait to see it. Everybody needs that visual aid these days because there's just so much you forget. Like we said before with the names, all the names of the people that you forget over the years of dragging your feet and watching other people drag their feet. And then it just gets buried under the waste. It's like a volcano.
Yeah.
Like, it's like we're getting spewed with ash every day. And you forget what's on the bottom of the ash.
I know. It's like what Scott Pressler did in L.A. And then all of a sudden you see – you had a great tweet over the weekend, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. A couple hours after I tweeted it, I went back to Twitter and I was sitting next to Lauren. I said, holy shit, Lauren, look at this. I've never had anything get shared like this before.
Well, and, deservingly.
Well, wow. So, yeah. Yeah, that goes right to what we were talking about with the climate thing. And I'm going to be bringing it up tonight, too, because I want to talk about climate and the whole Ukraine situation and a few other things. So
we have a Judicial Watch update. He just put up a status update. It says breaking today. This is 20 minutes ago, not even. Breaking today, smoking gun FBI memo confirms plot to wear a wire against Donald Trump.
So, Rosenstein, it wasn't a joke.
Doesn't seem so.
Any of the pro-Rosenstein people have anything to say?
I mean, I'm going to go right at Brian. Right at Brian. Brian writes for Uncover DC. We have a massive difference in opinion on this. And I'm, you know, if that's what this is, in fact, I'm going to be interested to see what he says. Because, you know, he's been very adamant about, what's it called? About Rod Rosenstein, where I have been very adamant in the opposite. What about you? Where have you been? Like in the middle?
With him? I don't know. I don't know. I've listened to all types of theories, and I have found that quite a few have been credible and plausible. And then it's just always with the passage of time, certain things just seem less likely than others. And I seem to be trusting everybody less and less. And
oh my God, I didn't want to do that. Sorry about that.
No, I thought you were playing something.
No, I didn't want to interrupt you and play anything. I wanted to see how long this update was. It's an hour long. I just wanted to see if it was something quick you put out. But no, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I feel that responsibility myself. because that's the last thing I want. That's why I deal in open source information for the most part. Since I started Uncover DC, things have changed a little bit with some tips and stuff coming in. But for the most part, I deal in open source and I make sure I say this is my opinion and I just don't feel like, you know, this person's a good guy and here's why. Take from that what you will. But I don't know how you look at Rod Rosenstein. You know, what came out in, did you see the McCabe memo?
No. What happened?
So Andrew McCabe, I hope that this isn't a typical Judicial Watch thing where they're talking about McCabe's memo again after it already came out. Cause that's something that they do. Like something will release and then a couple days later they'll say, this is breaking, but it's the same thing that released or previously.
Mm-hmm. And?
So there's a memo, Andrew McCabe's memo, where he writes about the 25th Amendment thing, came out Friday, I believe. And it's what he wrote on Tuesday, May 16th. And it says, you know, Rod Rosenstein came in. We talked about appointing the special counsel. He thought he would get fired when he did it. He had a couple names in mind. He said so-and-so was just meeting about FBI director. And then he suggested that he could wear a wire to talk to the president because he's not frisked or whatever when he goes in there. And that's all in this memo that Andrew McCabe wrote. And not for nothing, but McCabe's telling of this kind of lines up with what Dowd said happened when Trump found out there was a special counsel appointed and they marched into Rosenstein's room and Rosenstein was cowering there and Sessions had absolutely no idea it was even happening. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dowd did that whole interview.
I'm glad that people like you remember these things and keep them to the fore of the mind, because I would have forgotten that completely if you hadn't reminded me.
You know what's crazy, though? I was thinking about this the other day. And like when you absolutely, like you have a hobby, drumming or whatever your hobby is, I'm sure that you could read an article about a drum set or like some kind of technical thing and remember every detail in that article. Just like, because it's something that you're super duper passionate about, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing for me with this. Like, I remember everything I read because it is all I care about. Which is a sad state of affairs for me.
Well, thank God people like you do care.
I'm just saying, it's not like everybody should be expected to do that, you know, when they're not obsessed with this like I am.
I get you.
That's all, Frank.
I get you.
That's so, it.
That's that then. To hell with it.
To hell with it all. To hell with it all.
Yeah, now I'm going to finish up my format for tonight and wait for my buddy to let me know when my car is ready to pick up with the new rear windshield, and that'll be that.
That sucks, Frank.
Yeah, whatever.
What are you going to do about baseball gloves? Are like so important.
Yeah, like, yeah. I lost some. The second glove. I lost two gloves, and the first glove, the newer one is the one I got a couple of years ago, just to start breaking in. I wanted just different sizes stuff. But the other one, the oldest one I have in there, was the glove that I played with when I was in Little League.
It's so sad.
So I always kept that one around in case anybody needed an extra glove, just so I can have a catch whenever the hell I wanted. You know, always able to have a catch. I got balls, bats, and gloves always on me in case anybody wants to do the most American thing you can do and have a catch.
I love having a catch randomly in the middle of the street. I love it.
It's the best thing. It's greatest. So, but now I got to start all over. Thankfully, it's the end of the baseball season, so I can spend some time over the off season just, you know, buying myself things little by little again. Maybe it was time just to replace it all anyhow.
Well, obviously the universe told you it was time to do something with them, but
I think that's the other reason why I feel all right about everything, and I didn't blow up and I didn't melt down, is because things have been going well lately. I've been feeling good. I feel work has been productive. Everybody is fairly happy, and we're all making headway in certain ways. So when things are usually like that, and I even when you're on that kind of a kick, even the things that look bad usually aren't.
Yeah, they turn out somehow.
They turn out somehow, and it's something odd that you needed to, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. If I was having a bad couple of months, this would be typical. But it hasn't been the case. So I'm trying to see what the positive outcome is. It's going to be good, though.
I'm sure it is. Someone's going to send you a bag full of balls.
Yeah. I'll buy my own balls. It's all right. Those balls were balls that I had collected over 13 years of coaching baseball. I pick up a ball here. It's a foul ball there. Some left behind things. I take a couple of for myself at the end of the season. Balls, final outs of important playoff games with my kids. So there was a lot of sentimental stuff I lost there too. But you know, that's just what it is. So I'm sure that I'll start a collection again starting next year. And I don't know.
That sucks, Frank. I'm sorry to go through that. That's all.
It's all right. I had some good buddies there, so it wasn't as bad as just being there to deal with it by myself. So it was all right.
Well, you have been listening to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Autumnal Equinox Val
and me, Beans. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.